And now we're going to change paces. As we always do, and being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we're going to talk to our local MP, Cindy McLeish. Welcome, Cindy.
Good afternoon. Gosh, days go quickly, don't they?
Well, I was just saying to someone, I can't believe that we're into the second term of school already.
I know.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
And the roads are as busy as they were pre-school holidays.
The school holidays were terrific getting around, weren't they? Particularly if you were out sort of earlier in the morning and you missed the school at night. But now it's going to be back to where we were. And we could spend hours talking about the roads, but we're not going to. So, Cindy, what have you been up to since we spoke to you last?
Well, I wanted to tell you about something that I've been involved with at the minute. And as part of there's lots of things that happen in Parliament that have politics aside.
Yep.
And one of the things that Victoria and Australia do is activities with the Pacific nations to help bring them up to speed and give more capability and things like that. And at the moment we've got a workshop happening in Parliament House in Melbourne. I was there yesterday and I'll be back tomorrow, where we've got women from Bougainville, Vanuatu, Nauru out here, and giving them access to some skills and things and learnings that they don't easily get over there. And when you have a look at the number of people from Pacific countries in Australia, it's actually a lot more than you think. And I looked at the local government areas recently about how many different countries from the Pacific are here, and each state gets a couple of countries that we're responsible for. So, we've got Fiji and Vanuatu and Tuvalu, I think, that we deal with. And New South Wales have different ones and Tasmania have different ones. And the parliaments provide a little bit of work through the clerks and the behind-the-scenes mechanisms through Hansard to help them, build up their capability locally. And we've got a women's workshop on at the minute.
Cindy, when you said that build up their capabilities, you're talking about as Parliament and likes of that, or you're talking about the everyday sort of things that they may not do that the ladies here get the opportunity to do?
Yeah, a bit of both. So, with Hansard, we're involved with quite a bit with Fiji about how to record parliamentary activity accurately and, the new technology that's available. It's interesting because technology is out there, and the first thing the women asked yesterday is, how do we check into the Wi-Fi? What's the Wi-Fi connection? Doesn't matter where you go. Africa's the same, everyone's right into the Wi-Fi and things like that. And so there is that. But we have, and this is pretty interesting, in Australia we have an e-safety commissioner whose role it is to try and keep people safe through online activities, and particularly kids and a lot of scams and things like that, people being trolled and victimised online. And we had a presentation yesterday from the Office of the eSafety Commissioner. Now, the countries over, the other countries, they don't have such a luxury to have somebody like that. But if they come and they hear the sort of things that we have going on in Australia, in Victoria, they can take that back and try and get it implemented into their parliaments.
Cindy, do they have the same sort of scammers over there as what we do here, or because in some of these areas there are, I should say, a little bit poorer nations, do they find not as many scams over there?
It didn't come up particularly, but, trolling and things like that came up.
Yeah.
We've got a few days of the conference, so didn't come up yesterday.
Yeah.
I imagine it's true.
I was going to say to you, how long are they over for, and how many are over here at the moment?
Oh, look, not a huge amount. There's only about 10 of them, and for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, that's terrific.
They're pretty keen on the Australian shopping too.
I wonder why. So that's terrific. So you've still got them for another couple of days yet.
Yeah, and, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for them to some of the Fijian women that were coming, there was about five Fijian women, they weren't allowed to come because of the fuel crisis. And the Prime Minister over there has put the kibosh on travel and wanted to cut MP salaries by 20% as well, and the staff and everything like that. So they're really probably struggling a little bit over there at the minute.
There are some people here that say we should cut the MP salaries, but you're never going to go for that.
Well, it's all set in Australia. It's all set independently.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of this, before we move on locally, one of the stories when they're doing the getting to know you, one of the women said that her husband was the former Prime Minister of the Kingdom of Vanuatu.
Oh, right.
And we said, well, what does your husband think about you becoming an MP? And she said, oh, he wasn't so happy, but I told him that that's what was going to happen. And so everyone was like, wow, you went from the First Lady and now, you know, you're an elected member.
Yeah. Do they get, I mean, I know we just laughed about that, do they get the support from the husband or the male partner over there that you would expect here, or is it a tougher battle for them?
Look, it could be a tougher battle in the parliament generally rather than, you know, in the community or at home, because right. A lot of the people in their local communities, well, they got there because they were strong community members and they knew that they had their backs.
Yep.
So, you know, one woman said that she saw too much corruption against the men in the country that she was from and she wanted to change that.
Good on her.
And they have, we saw this in Africa too, they have some seats that are women only. And so the only people that can run, regardless of what party you're from, you have to be female. And whilst that might sound good to bring some women into parliament, in the other seats where a woman might have wanted to stand, the men go, no, 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 don't go for this seat, go for the women only seat. So they still, limit it like that. And we heard a bit of that yesterday, which is, you know, something so different from our situation over here.
Yep. I've got to take a quick break, Cindy, and we'll be back with more.
Feel the heat.
Now, Cindy, we all know Anzac Day is coming up. In fact, before I finish at 3 o'clock, I've got a couple of songs about Anzac Day. You want to? There's plenty of Anzac Day action all around the glorious Yarra Valley, isn't there?
Certainly is, certainly is. And it makes it difficult to know where to go. And in fact, I've got a list of all of the places, you know, each year where I go. So I try and make sure I'm spread out.
Yep.
And I'll be at the dawn service at Millgrove this year. And I'll be doing the ode there. But where I don't go to the other ones, you know, I have usually try and get kids to lay the wreath on my behalf. Yeah, there's a lot of dawn services, and some places like Heels will have a dawn service as well as a 10 or 11 o'clock service. Then I'm heading to Yarra Glen. I'm doing their service at the middle of the mid-morning, you know, 10:45 it might be, or 10:30. Can't remember the time.
Is that that's the cenotaph in front of the hall there, is it?
At Yarra Glen?
Yeah.
They moved it a couple of years ago.
Oh, did they?
They moved it behind the RSL hall in the park area, and it's much bigger. There's a much more space that they can have and congregate safely without the roads needing to be closed, because, you know, it's always difficult when roads need to be closed, and sometimes there's a cost to it, and when, you know, you're having parades and things. And
well, particularly now.
Communities can't always afford that, you know, an extra few thousand dollars in, you know, to have a road closed or police present. So that works a lot better for Yarra Glen there. And it's a little while coming, but it's been good that it's there. It's made a big difference.
Which one was the first? Where'd you say you're going to dawn service?
Oh, at Millgrove.
At Millgrove.
And they have a, you know, busy service. You know, Warburton and the Upper Yarra have services as well. And was it the Upper Yarra? I'm just trying to remember. I had to, you know, get my whole thing, because I've got four councils as well. You know, I've got Nillumbik, Murrindindi and Mansfield. And Mary Jig do something really different. I don't know if I've told you this before. No. They meet, they don't do dawn. The horses all leave the pub at dawn. Oh, and they have like 50 riders ride from the pub to where they do their service at Maryjig, and a lot of them stay on the horses. Some get up, get off, and they've got spots to tether the horses. And it's a real – yeah, I've only done it once. It was a number of years ago. I might do that next year, but always hard to know where to go.
That'd be a terrific sight to see.
It is, because as daybreak, you know, it's just really early and you see the horses – they come over a bit of a road. But, you know, the schools do a really good job getting involved. And there's always school kids, and often the school captains are the ones that attend the services and lay wreaths or speak or, you know, read a poem, for example. And yesterday I was at Kinglake West because the kids up there had their service.
Yep.
And the reason it was done on the Tuesday is because this grade fives and sixes are all going on one of the urban camps and weren't going to be there later in the week. So they wanted to have those kids actively involved. So, but it was good. All of the kids, each class had made a wreath, and so a couple of kids came up, and I'll tell you what, the silence is deafening. And you've got a whole bunch of primary school kids sitting there. And I go to a lot of school assemblies, and there's always a couple fidgeting and moving and jumping around. Yesterday they were just perfectly behaved.
Were they?
And when they have them at the Upper Yarra, the kids are really, you know, and it gives you a bit of hope for the kid, you know, seeing the kids that are there. And there's so many kids that turn out at the dawn services, and I hope that this year it's no different. Because the schools do work on it, and I think it's fabulous.
That's fabulous. Now, Cindy, we're into the football season. We've got a couple of things coming up you'd like to talk about.
Well, one of the things that's been a bit of a fixture now for maybe a decade is the Pride Cup at Yarra Glen.
Yep. I remember that starting.
Yeah?
Yep.
I do too, actually. I think I've been to everyone. And it's again on this year. And one of the things that the Yarra Glen Football Club do that I think is terrific is every round that they have it, they make sure a different club is involved. So it's not always Yarra Glen versus Yay, for example. You know, it might be Yay this year, it might be Alex, it might be Junction, it might be Alinda Fernie Creek or whatever. You know, they move it around so that the message gets out to all of them.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it?
I don't think that's terrific to and they usually have good speakers. Council get right behind it, and they do the arc in a the pride colours. So, you know, around the boundaries. Council do that for free for them.
Not much of they do for free, but anyway, let's not touch that. Sydney, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
This is the story of Terry's Biscuits, a tin of Anzac biscuits in the care of the Australian War Memorial. On the 29th of November 1966, Lance Corporal Terry Hendel received a tin of homemade Anzac biscuits from his mum, Adelaide. Terry had been with the 6th Battalion Royal Australian Regiment in Vietnam for 6 months, beginning his tour of duty on the 31st of May. He was serving near Nui Dat as part of Operation Ingham. Adelaide and Desley, Terry's sister, regularly sent him homemade Anzac biscuits while he was deployed, which he shared with the men of his unit, the Assault Pioneer Platoon. Terry decided to wait until he finished his patrol that night before opening the tin to enjoy the biscuits. Sadly, Terry never got to enjoy his biscuits. At 10:15 p.m., some Viet Cong came up to the perimeter of the platoon's position and, when challenged by the sentry, opened fire with an automatic weapon before withdrawing. Terry was one of the three men wounded in the attack. Despite the best efforts of medical staff, at 2:55 in the morning, 30th of November 1966, Terry died, aged 20. His body was returned to Australia and buried at the Pinneroo Lawn Cemetery in Queensland. He was survived by a young wife and daughter. Terry's unopened tin of biscuits was returned to his mother, Adelaide, after his death. She kept the tin with her the rest of her life, and every time she moved house, she would carefully carry Terry's biscuits in her lap to her new home. The tin has not been opened since Adelaide first sealed it in 1966. It still has the original masking tape, and you can feel the weight of the biscuits inside. The Australian War Memorial will never open the tin, just as Adelaide and Desley never opened it. That was the story of Terry's Biscuits.
Never heard that story before.
Nor had I.
No, there you go.
I was wondering where it came from, actually.
Yeah, well, one of our presenters put it all together out of some archives. There you go. I've never heard that.
Excellent.
The bushfire inquiry is going on, or is it starting, or what's going on?
Oh, can I just jump back to the Westburn Junior Footy Club?
Yeah.
While we're just talking football?
Yeah.
Would you mind?
No, go for
it. Westburn Junior Footy Club are 70 this season. They're celebrating their 70th season, which is pretty remarkable because they're just a junior footy club.
Yeah, and they've been able to have a team every year, have they, for the 70 years?
And multiple teams, many age groups are now boys and girls.
That's a terrific effort.
It is, and on Sunday they are celebrating their Anzac round. And they're doing the unveiling of the under-17 girls premiership flag from last year. So, you know, this ties in nicely as well with, you know, an Anzac round that the kids, this is a junior football club and they've got the kids, you know, taking part here. So the kids see stuff at school, they see stuff on Anzac Day and they see stuff at the football club, which, you know, really brings it alive. And but I guess, you know, yes, they've got their Anzac round, but really importantly, 70 years is a major milestone. Oh,
that's a terrific effort for a local club. And that's at Westburn this week?
Yes, Sunday.
They're playing a home ground.
Yeah, so they're having the unfurling of that flag and their Anzac round. So See how I go? I'll try and get there.
That'd be terrific. Now, you'd like to talk about the bushfire inquiry.
That's right, Alan. There's an inquiry underway. There's always inquiries about the summer bushfires. And there's a parliamentary inquiry, and there's another one that the government ordered, and the government ordered one's been put on ice for a little bit to see probably what happens with the parliamentary one. And what it means is they're going around the people on the committee. So there's a committee of parliamentarians who go around and they're heading to, what day is today? Wednesday. They're heading, I think, to Horsham today. Right. So there were fires over in that area. Yesterday they were in Colac. Then they'll move over through Harcourt, although I don't think they're stopping in Harcourt, to Ruffey, down through Yark, to Fawcett, and in Alexandra. So what it means is an opportunity for them to see and to hear from major groups impacted. And there's a lot of people with opinions about the bushfires and a lot of people who were caught up in them one way or the other, and they've had a chance to make submissions, but now they've got a they're going around and recording. So Hansard record where they can. You know, they can't record them walking through a fire ground and having a chat, but when people are submitting, and these things are live, so often you have people at home and interested in these sort of things. You know, you can go into the Parliament of Victoria website and it tells you what inquiries are happening live. Right. And you can tune in and you can watch. You can't pipe in.
So you can watch it from home?
You can watch it from anywhere. You can watch it from your car or on your phone.
Cindy, when you were on air last time, I was telling you I was going up the following week to Alexandra and to Mansfield. I'm amazed, and you live in the country, so you know more about this than I do, how a fire will come into a property, it'll go almost up the house, and it'll go around that house and go down the street, and the next house it'll burn down.
And it's related to a whole bunch of factors. There is a lot of random in it.
Right.
And it's also about whether people were firefighting at their house on the day.
Right.
People, you know, stay and defend, and they might be able to save their house by doing that. Not everyone elects to do that, obviously. Sometimes there's a tanker there that can divert, you know, stop it burning down. So there's a whole lot of different factors. But, you know, when you look at the pattern of a fire in a paddock, it just, it's all over the place. Yeah, it doesn't sort of burn in a nice line.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, it must be, and I know you and I have talked about the CFA and that many times, about how brave these people are. I mean, when you're driving down the street and you see what's happened, you think, man, there were people in the middle of this, like trying to defend not necessarily their home but other people's homes. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah, and in that area, one of the guys I was talking to said, look, you know, we saved four homes where people had left. And the local people, more and more I'm finding, Alan, that people have got their own units. And so you've got the CFA, and people who've been part of the CFA, they've got a big tank on the back of their ute or whatever, and they know what to do, and they can, you know, get two or three farmers in a row like that that can actually make a big difference. And I did hear of one property where that had happened. There was 20 private units over a 3 or 4 kilometre fire front holding it at bay, and they did. It stopped it from jumping the Goulburn Valley Highway down at Homewood.
Because you can't, I mean, the CFA, no matter how good they are, I mean, they haven't got the amount of trucks. I mean, you can't have it, and you and I have discussed this before, you can't have a fire truck out sitting out the front of every home, can you?
No, you can't. And when you've got an area like the Yarra Valley, you know, you do have some open areas, but you have a lot of forested areas, particularly in the Upper Yarra and the Dandenong Ranges. You know, people need to have their plan. And think about, you know, the fires that went through, and that's always a good reminder to go and think, gosh, well, what would we have done? And I know a lot of people in the Murrindindi Shire had done that and thought about it because of Black Saturday fires, and every time a fire comes through, they wonder about that.
So they're able to sort of have a look at that and and sort of add that to their plans, what they would have done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've just got to take a quick break and I'll be back with more. Cindy McLeish. Now, Cindy, I'm really keen to hear about this because I've read about a little bit about it in the paper. There's a Yarra Valley Foundation. What's that about?
So it's a community foundation that's just being launched, and there's lots of communities already that have existing foundations.
Right.
And the Yarra Valley want to start a foundation. And basically, in a nutshell, it's about getting a whole lot of money donated and then distributing the interest, I guess.
Yep.
So the more money you have, the more you can hold on to that and invest it, and then every year you can support different community events.
Has it started? Like, has it got initial sum of money in it yet, or are they still looking for people to donate?
They're at that very early stage. So what they have got is they received a bequest from the Margaret Lawrence Foundation.
Right.
And that is going to support them going on in, like, putting the administration in place with the executive offices and things like that to get it moving to start doing all the fundraising. So they know they've got that little bit there in the bank to start with to lead them in the right direction. But they're aiming to get $1 million in the first year.
Yep.
With $1 million each year after that, so for 5 years. So they're aiming for $5 million over 5 years.
Right.
Now, they had a guy from the Inner North, which is it's a lot bigger an area than the Yarra Valley, because Yarra Valley is really only one ward out of the whole Yarra Ranges.
Right.
But in the Inner North, where they've done really well, I think they've got $9 million.
True, yep.
you know, where they can distribute proceeds from. But, and it's been going since 2018, so 15 years. But that includes three local government areas. So that's a lot bigger area, a lot more people. But anyway, they had the launch the other night, and there was 130 people came along to hear about it, to ask lots of questions about it. And in the first instance, they really do need the donations, the philanthropy to get it off the ground. Now, I've seen this work in other places. Mansfield are a very philanthropic community.
Are they?
And they have a couple of different foundations and bequests that are made, and where, you know, they can support local initiatives across a whole range of different areas, you know, and it could be education, it could be health, it could be environment or social justice, it could be heritage or the arts or culture. So there's a whole lot of areas, you know, homelessness, all of these things that they can support. And what it might mean is some organisations may get, I don't know, maybe 5,000 or 35,000, depending on their need, you know, in the future. But at the moment, it was raising awareness to say, this is what we want to do. And, you know, these sorts of things are good ideas. And, you know, it'll take a little while to get it established, and people will have lots of ideas about how they might be able to use the funding.
But I guess, first of all, you've got to get the funding, don't you?
You do. You've got to get the money through the door in the first instance. And hopefully that amongst those 130 people, there are a lot of people thinking about contributing. Murrindindi have a Murrindindi Foundation. It started off after the Black Saturday fires as the Marysville Foundation. There was also the Kinglake Rangers one. It didn't go as well. And after time, the Marysville Foundation thought they'd like to turn this into an ongoing, I guess, an ongoing organisation, an ongoing entity. And through the fires, they were able to collect money, and they were able to also distribute some funds to help with different things in the fires. So, you know, they've been doing some good. They've also got an op shop in the town as well, which helps them raise funds.
Gee, that's a terrific idea. So it's really it's a community helping the community, isn't it? Like, you're getting the money out of the community and then distributing it to organisations that really do need a hand.
That's right. And the issue, this questions came up about, well, what role does government or local government, state or federal, have in this? Does that mean they're not going to fund local initiatives? And it's like, no, this is on top of. So sometimes, you know, it might get a lot of smaller grants and things like that, might be able to help.
Sounds terrific.
Different ideas. There's been, in Mansfield, there's what's called the Friday Foundation. I think that was established with Claire and Harry Friday. And, you know, one of the things that I remember distinctly was a bus for the hospital for health, you know, community bus. So, and with, I think if I'm right, it had a, not a pulley, you know, a thing to help when people are in wheelchairs and that, to lift people, a hoist.
Oh, the hoist, yep.
Yep, that can help people get in and out of the bus if they're in wheelchairs and things like that. A different request up there was one of the areas distributed was doing a skate park for the kids in Merton, where there's not a lot. So, you know, they can be used really widely, but first of all, you've got to get the money in the door, so you've got something to invest, and they'll invest ethically. And once you've got it in the door to invest, then it means that, you know, it can be distributed.
Sounds good. I've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more with Cindy. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, and we've been talking and was going to continue to talk about the Yarra Valley Foundation. You want to talk a little bit more about, please, Cindy? You there, Cindy?
Have I lost you?
No, I can hear you.
Oh, good, good. I thought I'd lost you for a moment.
No.
The thing was spinning around.
No, I'm here. You want to talk a bit more about the Yarra Valley Foundation?
Yeah, because one of the other things that I didn't talk about was the community leadership and capacity building as well.
Yep.
And what they can do once you get, you know, strong leaders and you develop and invest in the leaders, it can make a real difference to growing the community and, you know, projects in the area and helping lead people if they've got good ideas to bring it to fruition.
Because I guess one of these things too that, I mean, once you raise the money, and obviously the first biggest problem is to get the money in, but once you've got it, you need to make sure that it just doesn't go to one or two groups, don't you? You need to make sure that, and it's what the community wants, not that just one person wants.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, I'm sure, like with anything, there'll be a bit of competition for it, but they don't want to have, you know, they want to be in a position that they can fund as much as possible.
Yep.
But one of the things that they did talk about with the grants is being informed by community consultation. So, you know, going out and talking to the community and the local advisory groups and, you know, having assessment criteria, because you want to know that actually you're getting bang for your buck and you're not just giving $20,000 away and it's wasted. You know, you really want to be able to invest in something that makes a difference. Yep. And I think having the guy from the Inner North that came out, you know, as somebody who's been there and done that, and even Murrindindi, who aren't so far away, you know, learning from them about what works and what doesn't work. Because, you know, if we want to have long-term positive change,
yep,
in the area, you know, whether it's the economic, as I said, well-being or cultural or whatever, you know, you want to have buy-in for the community.
And I mean, it's got to be a project that really comes out of the community, doesn't it? Where the community says, this is something we need, rather than this is what you're going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And there'll be, in lots of different areas, there'll be different people with saying, you know, what's needed and what's not needed, you know, and it's the same with any government grant, you know, like different ones get up and some people don't agree with it and other people think, fantastic.
Yeah. How do people donate, Cindy? Have you got that with you at all? Or?
Yeah, look, they've got a website. It's called the Yarra Valley Foundation.org.au. So, and it's easy. You know, Google Yarra Valley Foundation and you'll find out pretty easily. It's got a bit of the information on the website, but it's also got, you know, if you're interested in donating, and it's got buttons or, you know, one time or monthly. So it's...
And it'd be tax-deductible too, wouldn't it, Cindy?
Sorry?
Tax-deductible, is it?
Anything over $2 is tax-deductible, absolutely. And one of the things that they do note, and I know a lot of charities do this, that they'd rather, instead of you saying, I'll give $1,200, they'd rather say, can you give us $100 each month? Because you get it, you know, consistently. It kind of helps with the budgeting rather than just hoping that you get something at, you know, the end of the financial year, I guess.
So they're aiming for $1 million in the first year and then a total of $5 million, or do you just keep
a total of five over the next 5 years?
It's a big task, isn't it?
It is, but you'll be surprised that there are people there who live locally and who've done well and who'd like to be able to help and keep the money
I was just going to say to you that no doubt one of the things that they will do, their grants, they're not going to give out a grant, say, to somebody down in Croydon or you know.
Definitely
down,
not.
Yeah, it's going to be in the Yarra Valley.
And the issue came up about, well, what is the Yarra Valley?
Yep.
And it's pretty well the Ryrie ward in the local government area. It's Healesville, it's Yarra Glen, it's the Creek, Steeles Creek, Chum Creek, Badger Creek. I'm sure there's another creek in there. Cold Stream, Gruyere, you know, like that, that area of just the Yarra Valley. It's not the Upper Yarra. That was asked about, would it extend into Warburton? Yep. I don't think that was part of their plans at this point.
Yep. Cindy, we've got about three or four more minutes. What would you like to talk about just before we have to go?
The Warburton Bike Park, the mountain bike park.
Yep. At last.
And, well...
Keep talking.
Well, they've got an official opening happening in a couple of days. So I'll be heading to that. I think it might even be Thursday.
Right.
And it was going to be... Oh, actually, it's next week. It's next Wednesday. It's a full week away. They were going to hold it in Easter. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but things have been moving in that space quite a bit. I believe that there haven't been too many accidents or things like that. They're not causing a spike in the SES because it's a bit of a hike in if they have to.
Yep.
But what's happening on the 29th of April at 10:30, they've got a Commonwealth and a State Government Minister. Both of they've contributed funds to this, as have the Yarra Valley Shire. They're going to be there to be involved in official opening.
Yep.
I'm not sure who's coming from the state because they've changed ministers.
Right.
So we'll see what that looks like. But, you know, it's been up and running and busy during the school holidays. They've got a really good website as well.
Yep.
You know, you can even buy, you know, you can go and buy your merchandise or your passes online.
Yep.
It talks about actually, you know, if you want to stay, and one of the advantages of a great destination like this is that people with mountain bikes like to come and stay for a couple of days.
Yep.
And so, you know, if they bring their family, because we've got flat trails as well as mountain bike trails in the Yarra Valley, in the Upper Yarra.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got the O'Shaughnessy Trail and different mountain bike ones, but you've got the Warburton Bike Trail. And so if you've got little kids who are too small to ride mountain bikes, they can easily ride along the flat.
Sounds good. Cindy, one thing, we're fast running out of time, and I know times are tough, and I know that the price of fuel is getting up and that, but we should try to remember that over this Easter period, I mean, some of these towns, they rely on tourism, don't they?
They do. They do. And, in fact, I was quite staggered. I was at Mansfield on the Easter Saturday, for they had a bush market there, and my goodness, I'd never seen so many people in town for a market at Easter.
That's
there were
terrific.
60 people like trying to cross the road at any given point with the traffic lights. It was crazy busy.
Yep.
And then I was in Jamison for their festival, autumn festival, last weekend, and they were hoping, they'd had 3,000 in the past. They were worried about the fuel, thought maybe we'll only get 2,000. And they reckon they got closer to 4,000 people.
Gee, that's terrific. And
it is.
Particularly with there's a long weekend coming up in June and that, apart from those that want to go up skiing and that, because I bet there'll be snow by then, it would be great if any weekend, if a person could take a trip just out into some of these tourist areas, spend a few dollars, have a meal, buy some coffee, enjoy
that. That's right. If you live in the Yarra Valley or the Upper Yarra, you can head north and we can get those people to come down to the beautiful, you know, Yarra Ranges. It's gorgeous, the ranges and the valley.
Sounds fantastic. And I mean, you know, a lot of these businesses have done it very tough because of the bushfires, haven't they?
That's right. And in fact, the word bushfire, doesn't matter where it is, some people cancel their plans and the fires might be 100 kilometres away.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that happen in Eildon. Eildon wasn't impacted by the fires. They were quite a distance away. You could still get there safely over the Black Spur. And, you know, they got hammered.
Yeah, people. Well, you mentioned fires, and I got to be honest, I don't want to go anywhere near them either. So, I mean, I guess, I was up there at Mansfield the other day and then and Alexandra, all the shops are open, everybody's there and everybody's hoping you'll come up and spend a few dollars when you can.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the Yarra, Alexandra had to cancel the rodeo in the middle of January when it normally is because of the fires, and they managed to get one up a couple of months later. It wasn't quite the same because all of the riders and all of that couldn't get there with the new date.
Yep.
But they still managed to pull it off and have thousands of people turn up, and they do come from distances, and it's great to get out and about in your own state sometimes.
Absolutely. Cindy, I've got to go. The news is knocking on the door, but thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you. Blimey, it'll be May then.
Gosh, year's gone quick.
See you, Cindy. Bye.
Bye. Bye.